Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Anissa.
And it's Ellen.
And it's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
This podcast is not about Anissa and I coming on here and talking about, oh, woe is me, and this is my life, and this is what we did last week, and this is what I ate. And we talk a lot about things from our perspectives, but there are topics and things that we hope will speak to women of our age going through the same things. We're not here to give advice. This podcast is to bring other people and their perspective and their stories and their expertise to everybody out there.
Everybody has a story to tell. We're all storytellers, but being able to show up in your truth without being judged
exactly
is what we're about.
Hi, everybody. This is Ellen.
It's Anissa.
And what is this?
Ah, it's Anissa and Ellen Raw.
How are you?
I'm good.
Are you good?
Yeah.
Your hair is purple.
I know. My hair is purple.
Her hair is purple. It's like various shades of purple.
Yeah.
And at first I thought when you first sent the picture that you had darkened it, but I think it's the purple that makes it dark.
Yeah. And it's faded some already because you wash it. But yeah. It's fine. I'm super excited because purple's my favorite color. But I have to tell the story because, you know, I think hair is an accessory. And so I'm like, I'm just going to color my hair. So I was telling that to Ellen and Ellen goes, did you ask Chris if you could do that? And I'm like, oh, I didn't think that's my boss. I'm like, I didn't. Well, okay. Yeah, I guess
The only reason why I said that is because
I'm
you
up there
sit,
on that. I know. Yep.
She sits in the quadrant where the CEO of Inspire Brand sits.
All of the C-suites on that
now,
side.
Now, if it had been me on the sixth floor, who cares?
Right.
Yeah.
So I go into his office and my boss is a huge introvert. And so I say to him, I'm like, Chris, I need to ask you something personal. And he like shrivels
I know,
into
he's
himself.
I'm sure he shrivels.
He like completely is like, I could see him like wincing. And I'm like, is it all right if I dye my hair purple? And he goes, why are you asking me what color your hair can be? And I said, well, you know, I'm up here on this, like, you know, I'm up on the 14th floor.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care what you do with your hair. Okay.
Just don't ask me. Just don't tell me anything personal about yourself.
No. He goes, have you seen how many different colors of hair LaToya has had? And I went, no. And he goes, well, it's fine. I'm like, okay. And then yesterday, I didn't see him Monday because they were gone after I did. And then yesterday, he like talked to me like three times. And then he finally goes, oh, the purple.
I know.
That was all he said. Oh,
that's good. That's fine.
But yeah.
But just
so that's my purple hair.
I love it. It looks great.
It's fun.
I know.
Until
I'm excited.
Yeah.
About. It's like dark in the front and then it's just sort of
everywhere that was blonde. It's more purpley, but I was feeling old, so I had to do something to feel fun and young. So I dyed my hair purple.
That's great. Are you excited about today? This one's going to be so good.
This is so good because
it's gonna be so good.
I was telling Ellen that I thought, even though I don't have the history of being married as long as you are, we're both married. So we don't ever have discussions really about what we're going to talk about tonight and what our guest has written a book about.
Right.
And so I think that this is going to be a really good episode for people. People are going to get a lot of aha moments and hopefully some takeaways that can help them if this is their journey right now.
Well, as I was saying to both you and Lisa before we officially started taping, I know a handful of women who this will absolutely touch. This will be good for them. So before...
Yes.
We just keep going on and on. Let's introduce Lisa. I'm going to formally introduce Lisa. And then Anissa's going to tell everybody how she knows Lisa, which is a good story.
Yes.
So Lisa Glauber Schipple.
Yes.
Okay. How do you pronounce your name? Did I say it right?
Glauber Schipple. That's fine.
So Lisa is an attorney. She's a lawyer here in Atlanta. She's been an attorney. I'm going to read this. She's been practicing law in the state of Georgia since 1994. She's the managing attorney at Lisa Schipple Law LLC up north in the Alpharetta area.
Yes.
Her practice concentrates in the areas of residential and commercial real estate, wills, trusts, and probate, and general business law. So no, she is not a divorce attorney. Brian's snapping his fingers. She's also a certified mediator. Her background is extensive in law. And then she did get her law degree from New York Law School, but she is here to talk about divorce and her perspective and her experience, not only as an attorney,
and navigating it through. But just, you know, just a regular old chick who.
Exactly.
Yes. So, and it's an awesome, interesting story. And before we go on, I do want to talk about the book that she wrote.
Yes.
So she wrote this awesome little book. It's so cute. The picture on it, the drawing on it is so cute.
It's Lisa.
It's totally Lisa. It's called Traveling Through Divorce from Point A to Point Me. You can get it on Amazon. You can buy it almost anywhere. And it is so cute. So we'll put some information about that. I don't want to say too much more about it because I want her to talk about it. But we definitely will put the information in the show notes so that people can find it. So yes. Now, Anissa, boom.
So I know Lisa actually from before she was divorced. She has two boys. And when I was a school teacher, I taught her oldest son, Grant, when he was 3 years old. Yep. I was probably there when he was becoming potty trained.
You probably potty trained.
Getting through there. And then she has another son named Spencer. Mm-hmm. So I met Lisa when she was a mom in my classroom and we had mm-hmm. parent-teacher conferences and things like that. And I didn't reconnect with Lisa until years later after both she and I both had been through a divorce, but through a mutual friend, Susan, we actually had a girls' night out and I was like, oh my gosh, I know Lisa type thing, kind of reconnected through there. And when I found out that you had written this book, I thought, you know what? She's going to come and tell us about it on the podcast. So we're so happy that you're here. Thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me here. I'm so happy to be here. It's funny that you say that you were Grant's teacher when he was three, because that was 20 years ago.
I know.
Oh, shit. And we're sitting here and I'm like, oh my God.
Right. Yes.
I know. That's so crazy.
It is. It's like, I nuts. Don't. Because yeah. I still feel the same age as I was.
I was going to say, you don't right? look like you could have a 23-year-old.
God,
that,
20
yeah, that was
years
ago. Yeah. I know.
I know. Just in a blink of an eye.
Exactly. Exactly. So here we are.
I love it.
And 20 years later, my life's a little different.
Yeah. So I guess maybe a good place to start, Lisa, would just maybe an overview of kind of why you wrote the book. And then we'll get into maybe a little bit more mm-hmm. of your personal history and some of that. But let's talk about kind of why, what the impetus was behind writing the book.
Sure. So as you told everyone, I'm an attorney. And what's different about me, I guess, as an attorney mm-hmm. is I think people find me approachable mm-hmm. and they feel like they can call me if they have an issue, even if they know that's not the area of law that I practice. And so being that I was divorced, I've been divorced 10 years now, because I was divorced and because I was also or still am an attorney, people would call me on a regular basis. And I'm talking like two or three different people a week. Mm-hmm. And they would say either they were contemplating getting a divorce or their friend was getting a divorce or whatever the case was. And it turned out like I was spending 30 minutes here, meeting so-and-so for coffee, just hearing their story and kind of giving them some pointers, because people are afraid to call a divorce attorney, especially if they mm-hmm. don't know who to call or they don't know someone personally. So I was kind of like fielding calls and then referring them on to divorce counsel, but giving them some pointers or talking them through some things before they made that scary call. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened. And I was doing this so often that part of it was like affecting how much time I was working on my real billable stuff in the right. office. So then, and honestly, like I have so many like cuckoo stories.
Oh, share one.
I know that we need, that's yeah. another podcast.
Can we
podcast.
Share one?
I don't know yet, but anyway.
Yeah.
That I was like, I'm going to just write a book. So 5 years ago, I sat down and I started writing this book and I, you know, I wrote a little bit about this mm-hmm. and a little bit about that. And because I felt like if I could put this out there for folks, it's not a book that has like a how to do this, how to do that, but you might learn like a pointer here or a pointer there, something that might save you money or time mm-hmm. or just be like an aha, like this is okay. You know, I was like, I'm going to write this. So I wrote it. And it took me a while, you know, just sitting at my, I was going to say typewriter.
I, I love
but
it.
But it was sitting at my computer. And then I wrote it and I got busy with life, and I got mm-hmm. busy with my own business and my kids and just everything, that it just sat there for so long and I didn't know how to get it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy that I date now and I live with him, I told him about it and he's like, you really need to do something about this. So this year I turned 50
mm-hmm.
and
I know, whoop, whoop.
And I was like, well, you know what? I'm going to finish the book and I'm going to self-publish it and I'm going to get it out there. And it's going to be like my birthday present to me
mm-hmm.
to accomplish getting it done. I had the vision of how it was going to look and what it was going to be like, but I just needed help. So I hired a company to help me and do some editing and stuff and get it out there on Amazon.
It's because so cute.
I didn't have the time to mm-hmm. figure everything out.
Yeah, the awesome. Book is really cute. Cover everything. It's really easy to read too. So it's not full of legal jargon.
Even as an attorney, I don't write in legal jargon. I kind of, it's fifth grade reading level or something.
I love it.
It's not the New York Times. It's USA Today. No.
I know.
I was a journalism major. Sorry.
Perfect. It was easy for you to write.
Always written, and I was actually, so I don't mind writing. I like writing. I look back on the book now and I'm like, oh, I wish I put this in there. Right. I wish I did that differently. I wish I added this story when things dawn on me and I like smack my head and it's like, oh yeah, this would be a good thing to know. Right.
Well, before you, we delve into, can you tell us about your
experience?
Your
divorce and.
You know, I'm going to tell you that my ex-husband and I, we got along pretty much okay as a married couple, but for us it was more like a business,
mm-hmm.
right? Like we were good at raising kids, making money, living the, you know, the perfect little life with mm-hmm. the kids and the dog and the jobs and everything else, and it worked. And we just got to a place in our life where we decided it was time to get divorced because that's all that it was at the time. Mm-hmm. It was a business.
How long were you married?
I was married for 15 years.
Okay.
And so actually we wrote up our own agreement and we went to an attorney who then turned it into a legal document for us. And when we were, you know, we reviewed it, we signed it, we filed it, and that was it. And everything was great. And we got along. We were still having dinner together with the kids occasionally. And just it was kind of we continued on that business mm-hmm. relationship. And then he met someone
mm-hmm, yeah.
and then he had a baby soon after that. And then he got married. And then it was like I was titled like the crazy ex-wife, right? Like everything I did was a problem. And we mm-hmm. started fighting a lot and everything became an issue. And that's the one thing, like people think that, oh, and I can't, you know, I'm going through this hell. And if only I could just get to the point where the judge says that we're divorced, everything will be great. But everything was fine for me up until that point. It's like what happens after we got divorced, because you still have kids and you still have lives and you still maybe live in the same town. And it's all the other crap. Am I allowed to curse? I curse
yes.
a lot.
You can say fuck. You can say whatever you want. Lot. Well, I can remember when the baby was at the same school that I taught.
Oh, wow.
I can remember when, because I didn't know anything about what had happened with the family or anything like that. You know, I stayed in my little hovel room, and I can remember one day that I don't even know that y'all were divorced because he came in with a baby, and I'm like, I think I even said to someone, I didn't know they had another baby. And they're like, Anissa. I'm like, what? I didn't know. She goes, that is not. And I'm like, oh,
it's let not me Lisa's. Just,
right. Yeah. I didn't even know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So that kind of stuff happens all the time. Like I'll go to the vet and they'll call my dog by his dog's name.
Oh my gosh.
You know, like, it's just because we tried to, after we got divorced, I think we're both really good parents. And the goal was to make sure that the kids felt free to go back and forth between the families, and also that no one was going to move far away, mm-hmm. that we were both going to take as active a role in the kids' life as we possibly can. So our lives, although I don't see him often, and mm-hmm. maybe sometimes not for a year, we're still in the same community and...
Right.
Yeah, and things overlap.
Well, and when the boys were younger, you still had to communicate somehow to say, hey, yeah. this it, is, you know,
and it
this
was going to
happen.
Hard
that's going to happen. Yeah.
It was hard because when the kids were young, that's when, Grant was like 13 and Spencer was, you know, almost 10 years old when they had a new brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the whole dynamics got crazy.
Right.
But everything now is great. They love their little brother. It's like we don't have things to do with one another, mm-hmm. but it was hard. It's a whole new set of rules.
Right.
And you can't control the rules. Like,
right.
you can control your husband or your wife to a point because right. you're married and you live in the same house. But if it's not on the paper and you're divorced, yeah. good luck.
Right.
It's not happening. It's like you want them to show up on time. You want them to be kind. You want them to... remind your kids that Mother's Day is coming up and did you get something for your mom for Mother's Day? Because that would be nice.
Right.
But that's not what happens a lot of times. And that's, you know, the harder part, I think, is after the divorce.
Right. And just trying to navigate through. Well, you know, from what you said, initially everything seemed copacetic.
Exactly.
You know? So what do you think it is? I mean, what do you think it was that just made things just...
There's extra people. I tell people this all the time, right? So, and this is the case when you start dating mm-hmm. after you get divorced, right? You meet someone, you might fall in love with that person and think that person's great, okay? He thinks you're great. You think he's great. He's got 2 children. You have 3 children. I think like mathematically, when you do all that multiplication, mm-hmm. you're not dealing with 1 relationship. You wind up dealing with like 18 relationships.
For sure. So, and you deal with the ex for sure.
How did you initially, I mean, did you and his wife or current wife, did you get along or was it just,
I try and be nice to everybody.
Right.
I'm like, people can talk about me behind my back, but I kind of mm-hmm. think I'm a nice person.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I want, you know, my goal was for her to be happy. I wanted someone to love my children mm-hmm. when my children were with them, right? Like, I wanted to make sure that whomever they were around, you know, if they had ill feelings towards me, they were going to probably take it out on my kids.
Right.
So I tried. It probably didn't go as great as a storybook would, mm-hmm. but it's okay. And it's fine. And my kids are older. They're adults now. So
it
all worked out okay in the end. And, I was going to say something and then I forget things sometimes.
You're fine. When you think of it, you just say it.
That's right.
So what about her though, towards you? I mean, what was your perception? I mean, was she,
I don't really know what the perception was mm-hmm. because you just don't know. If you don't have that conversation, you don't know what somebody's thinking. I know that for me, it's probably hard for someone else to come into my world. It's hard when I date people. I know a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people know me. And it's just hard to be in my world.
Right.
And my
that city. Makes perfect sense.
So, yeah.
So I mean, it's probably intimidating.
It's hard for people that I date.
I know
everybody. They can't, you know, my boyfriend says all the time, he's like, I go out and I just look around and I'm like, if I talk to someone, are they going to think, oh, there's Lisa's boyfriend.
Right.
Like, there's Lisa's boyfriend. That's how it is. So,
because of your profession and mm-hmm. just the area.
And I volunteer a lot. Yeah, I just know a lot of people.
So one of the things that was super interesting, and I think your perspective when you were talking about that, you know, people are overwhelmed when they're going through, or they think they're overwhelmed when mm-hmm. they're going through the actual process of getting through the divorce. But I love your perspective on that. That's not really where the tough stuff starts. And I, especially if you have children, could not agree more. And I was speaking to Rob and he actually said I could share because I said, you know, mm-hmm. can I share? he said that just in the short time I was talking to him about what you had, you know, your book and stuff, he says, that is brilliant. He said, because he was not expecting the divorce. So he was shell-shocked from that. So the entire time going through the actual process of getting divorced, he said, that was not, he said, I was just still trying to see if I could save it. I wasn't even in my right mind. He said, but after that, he said, it's like a big, huge stab in the back and a punch in the gut. And he says, and every moment since then has been little stabs. Mm-hmm. He said, I went from coming home every single night seeing my kids to now mm-hmm. I was having to live my life where every other week they weren't with me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what did I do with myself? He said, I didn't have a lot of hobbies. My boys were my hobby. Mm-hmm. So now I'm in this situation where not only am I not with them, but I don't agree with what she's doing with them. Right. So I'm terrified all the time.
Exactly.
And she's bringing them around all of these other men who have not, you know, my corpse isn't even cold yet. And already she's introducing the boys and I can do nothing about it. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And he just said that if there would have been something for me to have a little bit of a foresight into what the journey trying to co-parent with what he would say is a nightmare, you know, I mean, and all that, he went through 5 years of a custody battle. He went all of those things.
It's hard because like I have friends who came to me and all they want to do is get it done so quickly mm-hmm. that they're willing to give things up. Right. The soon to be ex is threatening that they want sole custody. So if I'm nice and I'm good, then maybe we can negotiate joint custody. Maybe we can negotiate this. It's such a mind game to get to that point that, you just want to get there and get out of it. And if you don't have a strong set of friends or someone to talk to, because you don't want to be paying your, divorce attorney, you know, $400 or $500 an hour for this basic therapy mm-hmm. that you need. Yeah. And because they're not equipped to give you therapy either.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I know so many people who rushed through it because they thought once it was signed that everything would be okay. Mm-hmm. When it's probably better to take a long journey getting to the signing if there's things that are wrong.
That need to be, that you need
that
to think through.
That need to be through. Addressed because yep. it's so much easier to address ahead of time than address afterwards. I'll tell you, the funny thing is I'm an attorney. I didn't know anything about divorce law going through a divorce. And I didn't even realize until after my papers were signed and everything was done that you can modify in Georgia every 2 years.
Oh.
And so you think you've got this agreement that's good until your kids turn 18 or whatever the case may be. And then, and the ex can go in and say, well, I'm making less money or this change has happened and we're going to adjust it this way. Right. And then you're starting all over again.
Well, in just listening to both of you, it would seem that Lisa's story, just because you and your husband had agreed, you know, you described your marriage and how you both had agreed to get a divorce, that it would just be smooth sailing after that, which is not the case, you know, whereas Rob had been blindsided yep. and shocked, you know, I mean, I know so many people like that who, you know, find out something and all of a sudden, you know, somebody cheated or somebody did this and that and the other, and they're going to get a divorce and they had not even talked about it and had not planned about it.
Right.
So it's just so interesting, the dynamic that, you know, after you were divorced, that it's, you know, I can't even imagine, like, you've spent all this time, you spent 15 years with somebody, and no matter what that relationship is like, you're day in and day out, because it's like you said earlier, you on the piece of paper, you're still married, so you're still have your life together, you still share.
And you share children.
Children and everything. Yep. To just all of a sudden, like,
Ellen's been married for 28 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
And just like all of a sudden just be, oh, wow. You know, yeah, my kids aren't with me every weekend or every day or now.
Now what do you do with yourself?
Yeah. And
because especially like when your kids are active and they have friends at school, like your whole life becomes your kid's life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
you that's don't who have your friends your own are.
Life. I'll tell you, I didn't even really like I had boyfriends in high school and college, and then I met my ex. So I didn't date
right
pre-marriage, really, because your high school and college boyfriends back then, it wasn't like you were getting dressed up to go on a date.
Mm-hmm.
So then at 40, I had to learn how to date.
Mm-hmm.
And that was hard because you like have the mentality of a 15-year-old.
Well, I mean, and like, you know,
it's horrible.
How do you, you know, we actually had.
Oh my gosh, it's horrible.
We actually had a podcast about this, about dating at our age, and, you know, so many questions about, okay, where do you meet these people? And then I even asked, I said, well, you know, what about like good old blind dates set up by your friends and family and stuff? Yeah.
Nobody would set me up with anybody. And I guess I don't know why, but I had like a one guy friend set me up on a date. That was it. And while my friends wouldn't set me up with anyone, they would also have no problem ridiculing whoever I did go out on a date
with. Of course.
Oh my gosh.
The way that it is.
So tell us a little bit about, I want to get into the book a little bit, and tell us a little bit about, walk us through what your book's about, and tell us a little bit about maybe some of the takeaways that you would want people to know about.
Sure. So, I mean, there's different things that you need to know as a person going through a divorce. One, that you should use your divorce attorney basically to get the paperwork done. Mm-hmm. And if you have a good divorce attorney, you need to trust what the divorce attorney's telling you. You might not, and it's hard to say, is my attorney good? Is my attorney bad? Like, it's hard to know if you've never done this before. Mm-hmm. So you really just have to go on recommendations from other people and know that like no two situations are exactly the same anyway. Mm-hmm. So while you're trusting your gut, you also have to listen to their experience. And then when you have like your side problems or you're upset or sad, that's when you turn to your girlfriends or your family, but you're not going to call someone for billable time on that.
Right.
You want to spend a little bit of money investing in someone to help you with your finances. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of tax consequences when you split up assets that you might not think about if you're not the one dealing with the finances in the family, right? So you might say, you know, these are first world problems. We've got $1 million or $500,000 in a 401k. Let's split it in half. Let's split that in half. Let's split that in half. But depending on how things are split and who gets what, there's all sorts of tax ramifications.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be so trusting on how we're splitting the assets, but maybe hire someone to help you
with that.
Explain, you know, what are the tax consequences? What are the tax consequences now? What are the tax consequences in the future? You know, it's cut and dry in Georgia for the most part. We're splitting assets in half. You may or may not get alimony. Most of the time you don't get alimony if you can work or you are working. Mm-hmm. And if you do, it's a very limited amount. And the child support is based on a worksheet that's set by the court system.
Mm-hmm.
So while things aren't 100% black and white, for the most part, they all follow the same path and you can kind of know what's going to happen. But there are other things that happen outside of this paperwork that you don't know. Like as a real estate attorney, a lot of times I see people coming in to refinance their loans on their house, but their ex is still on the title to the home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or their ex now filed for bankruptcy and they're still on the mortgage because you couldn't refinance. You didn't have enough credit to finance the house in your own name. There's all sorts of things that you don't think about and how they can affect you as a person. They're not your spouse anymore, but their trouble can still affect you and your credit. You know, someone might say, well, I'll pay half of the mortgage and we'll keep the house in both of our names until such time as the child turns 18 and goes to college, and then we'll sell. Well, that's great. But what if you want to buy something out, a new car, and you can't, and you're not living in this house anymore, and you don't have enough credit to go do what you need to do for yourself because someone else tied you into where they're living? You know, there's all these extra things that you need to think about that you can't possibly think of everything by yourself, but you have to surround yourself with good people that can help you. So whether it's a CPA or they have you know, financial consultants that, that work specifically in the divorce arena. Mm-hmm. You just, knowledge is power.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it sounds like. It's like you learn. I didn't know in, why would I? But I do have,
luckily,
I do have two, my sister-in-law and my brother-in-law both divorced. And I remember, I've been privy to listening to various conversations about child support. And you had made the point earlier about, but you know, before those papers are signed, don't give in, you know, don't give in to just
so because you want to be done.
Yeah. And you want to be done with it. And that's come to bite one of them back in the butt, you know?
Yeah. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. You just get so worn down, so emotionally worn. Mm-hmm. You think that it's all going to be a relief.
Right.
Right. And it is. I remember the day that I got divorced and it was just, and we weren't even fighting.
Right.
But the emotional release from mm-hmm. just having the judge sign off on it, it was like, I just broke down. I needed to get a massage.
Right. Yes.
It was
no,
just,
I
you
mean,
know,
I know. It's so
emotional.
Stressful. Yeah, emotional.
And it wasn't even that bad. Right. Right? So, you know, and we can go back to dating for a little bit. People start dating right away. They're going out all the time. They're focusing on their new life, mm-hmm. but they're not getting this house settled first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, hindsight is 20/20, but you really need to pay attention to what's going on and focus on it like it's your job right. in a way to get it in good order so mm-hmm. that once you are divorced and once you're a year out and as you progress, the other things that you do in your life as a single mm-hmm. person, you can be more focused on it, you know, and not just there.
Right.
And I think that's so hard because you're, like you said, especially if, like if you were talking about your marriage was becoming transactional, then there's obviously going to be this feeling of not only, thank God, you know, just to be done with the stress of it. But then there's this whole, oh my God, I can come back to myself again. Mm-hmm. What mm-hmm. is it that Lisa wants, right? What is it that Anissa wants? What, you know, all of this stuff that the things that you still, your kids, all of these things that you still really need to be mm-hmm. having a hand on is tough.
It's funny because the one thing I realized when I was writing the book is that, you know, I became more of who I used to be. Mm-hmm. 5 years out of my divorce, I got back to me. Now, I will say I think I say that a lot, but anyway, I feel like
I love it. Say
when,
it.
When I was young and I moved to Atlanta, mm-hmm. I had moved here from New York mm-hmm. and I was like strong and I was an attorney and I was, you know, from the big city mm-hmm. and you're not going to open the door for me or buy me a drink. And that's the kind of person I was when I was in my early 20s. Mm-hmm. And then just, I went through this stage in my marriage where I probably was just like miserable.
But yeah.
And just whatever you want to do, whatever you want to do, yeah. just whatever it is, like I'll go to work, I come home, I go to work, I come home, you know, family stuff and the monotony of it. And then once I got divorced, I got back to being like the strong, independent right. me. Now, I will let someone buy me a drink or open the door for me. I'm right. totally okay with that. And I love Atlanta for yeah. that.
Of course.
But I'm back to who I once was. Right. And it's refreshing. Well,
and you think yeah, it took you about 5 years to do that?
Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to, you know, you think of getting married and especially when you have children, things just change, priorities just change and things that are, you know, that have to be done. I think a lot of people, I think for the most part, most people probably lose a little bit of
themselves.
You know, yeah. Of for themselves. Sure. And, you know, we talk about midlife crises and stuff like that. And I, just from the friends that I have that have gone through that get married, have kids, sort of not really become complacent, but your routine is set and you do these things for your kids and you know, you start to sort of lose a little bit of spark of who you are. And then they go through these little quote unquote midlife crisis where, you know, all of a sudden you wake up and you're 50 years old and you know, your energy isn't the way it was the day before. You don't look, you honestly, I swear to God, when I've turned 40 years old, I felt like I woke up that next day and was like, everything was diminished, you know, energy level, everything. And then you get sort of a rejuvenation. And I think that's why sometimes people get divorced later, because all of a sudden it's like, wow, this isn't, you know, really.
It's hard. You know, now that we're, I'm 50.
Yeah, we're both 50.
So we have friends where they're empty nesters now. Mm-hmm. And that's when people are, again, starting to get divorced because they realize that the kids are gone. Right. So what do we have as a married couple? Mm-hmm.
Right. And they didn't keep the couplehood alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially if they get married and then they immediately have children instead of giving themselves, you know, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years to just sort of be together and grow into each other. And, but just backtracking a little bit, and I guess I was just, I think about the kids a lot, you know, so especially when your kids were 10 and 15,
10 and 13,
13.
9 and 13.
So how was it for them when,
you know, I don't know. I really don't know. They're boys. Mm-hmm. So boys don't talk
boys
so
are,
much.
Yeah.
And I hope that they're okay. They seem to be pretty well adjusted. They don't remember a lot. Mm-hmm. Even from their childhood. I'll tell mm-hmm. you, this is a funny thing because although my ex and I, we got along for the most part, there was a lot of yelling.
Yeah.
Okay. Not in front of the kids necessarily, but I would yell and he would yell. And like my neighbors knew that I yelled.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Yeah.
And funny enough, like 5 years ago or maybe, you know, sooner than that, one of the kids said to me, like, Daddy yells all the time. And I'm like, well, I yell all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, no, you don't. We've never heard you yell. And I'm like, oh my God, since I'm divorced, I don't yell anymore.
Mm-hmm. Huh? No, that is. Yeah. It's so interesting. I mean, you had mentioned that they were good. Now their little brother is, how old is he?
I think he's like 9 or 8. Yeah.
And 9, I'm assuming everything 10, they know. Get along. Yeah. How do they feel about, like, how did they feel from their perspective? Maybe they didn't say anything about you starting. You know, I mean, it's weird. You know, when your dynamic between your mom and your dad, you know, dad redating and mom, you know.
Boys aren't always happy, I think, with who their mm-hmm. mom dates, I guess. They're more protective. Mm-hmm. My kids are really independent also. I've made them very independent because I work so much. And, but I think it's good for them. Right. They are responsible. Yeah. They do all their own stuff.
Definitely.
And with me, yeah, they probably didn't like a lot of people that I dated. They didn't meet many people. I dated a lot, but they probably met like 4 or 5 people that I've dated in mm-hmm. 10 years. And for their dad, they've only met their stepmom.
Right.
And at first, they probably weren't so happy about having a younger brother, but they're really good older brothers mm-hmm. now. I mean, there's a big age difference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even when they come home from college, they go and see their brother play sports mm-hmm. and they try. I mean, there's a big age difference, so they're not like hanging out all the time, but they're good older brothers.
Right.
Yeah.
What's
I
the
think.
One?
What's or the, so I'm told by them. Right?
What's the number one thing that was the most difficult for you after?
The most for me, it was just having me.
Mm-hmm.
Just not having someone to say, oh, that's a good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Or what you're doing is okay. You know, here I am. I run a business. I run my house. And I don't really have the partner to say, oh, I'll do this, or we are a team, or what you did is awesome.
Or, yeah.
I remember like I had my, like a huge transaction for me because I worked for another firm for 17 years and then I went out on my own just a year after I got divorced because I was just like, over it. I was over everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I didn't have anyone to like, ask questions at home or at work. But I remember I had a really like big thing happened financially at work. And I'm like, who do I share this mm-hmm. with? I'm not going to tell someone I'm dating.
Right.
I'm not going to tell my girlfriends and seem like I'm bragging. My kids don't give a crap, right? Like, they're like, as long as you can, like, buy me stuff at Vineyard Vines right? when you're 13 years mm-hmm. old. But I have, so I call my dad.
Yeah.
Like, dad, you know, because he's not going to judge me or he's not going to tell people. He's not going to, you know, and so that was hard, I guess, that you're by yourself. And then the other time was I was having really bad stomach issues. And so I had to go to get a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm. I guess I was like 44, 45 mm-hmm. when I had to do that. And they're like, well, you need someone to be with you and to take you home from the mm-hmm. doctor. And I'm like, shit, I don't have anyone. Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
I know. I love it.
But I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? And Grant was 16 at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he dropped me off on his way to school.
Oh, wow.
And then my neighbor behind me, who was a very good friend, and she was actually like, she helped me so much because she was a stay-at-home mom. So like if I forgot to send lunch to school or the kids needed mm-hmm. a book or something that they forgot, she would do all that for me. She's like, let me get the kids on the bus. Let me do the stuff around the house. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be up at the doctor's office by 8 o'clock to sit there while you're back in the procedure and I'll take you home. But it was like, I'm like, I'm such a loser, right? Like, huh. who do you ask to take right. you to do your medical procedures?
No, yeah. I mean, there's, you don't ever think about that.
So do you
stuff.
Talk about that at all in the book nope. in terms of, huh? Mm-hmm.
I tell you, there's so many things I thought about afterwards that yeah. I'm like, oh, that would have been interesting to talk about or maybe not.
But I mean, that's something interesting to think about that those are just, I mean, there's always going to be some things that are freeing about it, but other things that you are lonely about.
Yeah,
it.
For mm-hmm. sure. Lonely. And you know, you, if you have good friends, that's great. And I did have good friends,
mm-hmm.
but like everyone has their own lives too. And can you keep asking the same people to do stuff for you over and over again? I mean, I needed so much help, with the kids in certain areas, but, you just have to ask and be thankful that you have good people in your life or at least try and surround yourself with right. some good people.
So you're 50 and you and your boyfriend live together. Will mm-hmm. do you ever entertain the thought of getting married?
No, we're together because we both don't want to get
married. mm-hmm. I think about that.
It's funny. He's never been married, doesn't mm-hmm. have kids.
Okay.
I think that was kind of like my MO a lot with dating, like trying to date people who didn't have the extra baggage, mm-hmm. like all the other relationships I had to deal with. I don't know if I was consciously thought of it or subconsciously thought about it, but that has its pros and its cons too, right? Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have all the extra people to bring into the right. dynamics, but also he's never had kids.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm so happy that my kids come home on the weekends from college to visit me or want to have dinner or, mm-hmm. you know, want to tailgate at a football game. And he's thinking, why do you want to hang out with your kids all the time?
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's not that he doesn't like my kids, love my
no,
kids.
Yeah.
It's that he doesn't have the same perspective mm-hmm. that I do about kids.
Right.
And he likes that. I feel that way about my children. Uh-huh. It's just one more thing to think about or deal with. It's hard. It's hard because when you grow up together in a marriage, you know each other and you know your families.
Yeah.
But when you start dating random people, you don't know their families. You yeah. don't know anything.
How long so did true. You date him before? Or how long? So you didn't mention how many people you dated since you got divorced, but how long before you introduce your kids? I mean, this is for you too, Anissa, because Anissa has five yeah. kids. Before you introduce your kids to somebody, you know, that you legitimately...
So I would think with... Because, you know, I'm on marriage number 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it shocks the shit out of Brian. So with Keith, who I had my 4 kids then... Keith and I were dating, I think, for 7 months before I introduced him to my children. Rob and I actually met and were friends prior to, we didn't hang out, but he might be there sometimes when my kid's around, if we were with a big group of people. But then also, which is so stupid because I'm quite sure my kids knew, but his may not have. Rob and I actually were dating and would sometimes be together, but the kids didn't really know, although I know for sure my girls did because they were old enough to know, but his boys did not know for a long time because we, But yeah, it was, you definitely are very protective about, I was in no hurry to mix those two things. When I was on as mom, I was on as mom. And I can even remember when Keith and I went on our first date, I told him, you know, he's like, oh, well, when can I see you again? And I'm like, well, school is starting, I don't know.
A week from Thursday.
He was like, well, what do you mean? Do you mean? And I'm like, I mean exactly what I said. I don't know. And he's like, well, does that mean 2 weeks? And I'm like, no, it literally means I don't know. I have four kids that are starting school. I'm going to be busy. I don't have any idea when I would have time for you. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I didn't see him for at least 3.5 weeks. Cause you know, back to school time, you're busy. Mm-hmm. And when I was in mom mode, I was in mom mode, you know, or tried to be. Not so much. I will say that I did a really shitty job as a mom. After Keith and I got divorced, I spent a good amount of time really focused on myself and kind of lost myself. And I was a shit mom for a while after that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm ashamed of
Don't be so hard on yourself.
Well, but I was a shit mom for a little while. I was really focused on myself and I had someone else that would watch the kids. So I was off, you know, having a good time and, you know, that's just not the way a mom should behave. I mean, it is what it is. And I got my act together, but I definitely, that is not a proud moment in my motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about you and your kids?
Sorry.
About, I know. In introducing, how did you feel about introducing them?
It was different for me, because part of it, I didn't want to make it like it was such a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that I had no intention of really getting married again. I really don't and never did. And so it wasn't that I wanted to introduce them to everyone. It was more so the guys would want to meet the kids, and I would be like, yeah, no, not necessary. We're good. Because you're not going to be here next week. No. But for my kids also, I didn't want to make it seem like it was a big deal. I didn't want them to think they're getting a new stepdad or something. I didn't ever want them to think that because it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think about that too. My experience has just been from my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and of course the various friends that I have that are divorced, but, it fascinates me, the dynamic, you know, I mean, so many things like what's it like to be with somebody for 15 years that you've slept with, that you slept next to, that you, you know, made huge decisions about buying houses and cars and raising two kids. And then all of a sudden
you don't even want to sit next to them.
Yeah. You know, and then even like down the road, you know, like 5 years later and you think back, oh my gosh, you know, I was married to him for 15 years, you know, because you have a life and you set your routine or you are however your life is. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's different to just date somebody for 3 years. Or
way
you know,
different.
Yeah. Or yep. it, and yeah. then all of a sudden, so it's so interesting, you know, cause then I see the dynamic now between my sister-in-law and her husband and their family now. And then my brother-in-law and his wife and their family now. And I was there with the first, you know,
right.
husbands and the dynamic is so interesting to me. It's just so many questions.
My family, are you kidding? Well, I was just thinking that we need to have another Girl Talk episode.
And have Lisa come
and
on.
And we're going to have you, if you would love to come, we get like 8 women in the studio.
Oh,
and
that would
talk,
be so much
we
fun.
Talk all
and we talk
things,
about everything.
Everything.
Oh, good, yeah. good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we would love to have you back and hear more of your perspective.
This was so much fun.
It's easy.
We just chat.
I mean, before you know it, it's like an hour. You know,
so again, Lisa's book is called Traveling Through Divorce from Point A to Point Me. And you can find it on Amazon. And of course, when we we'll list it in the show notes.
Right.
And hopefully you don't have as many people calling you and taking it to ask your advice. You just point to them in the direction of the book now.
Go to Amazon. No.
And get that's the book. Right. There you I go. It's not it. Quite your billable hour rate, though. No, I'm quite
no.
certain. It's
a, no. Yeah. It's a lot cheaper than my hourly rate.
Exactly.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Such, yeah. So it's good. Such a lovely talk. So we definitely will have her back on.
Yes. Thank you guys yes. so much for having me.
Oh, it's that time. You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit ATLPN.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com, and on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Spotify, Pandora
and iHeartRadio.
Wow.
You want to say the next part?
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. Or that really the easiest way to find our show is to follow us on Instagram because we always post the new episodes. And that's at Anissa Amison.
At Ellen Nickel.
Or at ATL Podcast Network.
At Atlanta Podcast Network.
Yep. We always post the new episodes. You can find them there.
Yeah. And then we will definitely post the show in the show notes about this book. It is so cute. And a little bit more information about Lisa.
So if you are going through that stage, you definitely want to check out the book because it'll save you a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot
answer
of
some questions.
Heartache.
Heartache. Yeah, heartache for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.